Show, and my guest today is a liquor industry entrepreneur, Joey Angelo. I'm jealous of where he's located, even though it's warm in Pittsburgh. We had like a warm spell as it's already spring. Spring has sprung, but I'm sure it's gorgeous. How are you? Thanks. Springish. Yes, exactly. Joey, how are you?
Good. I'm good. And I just got off a plane from New York City like a couple hours ago. So don't let the palm trees fool you, man. It's new to me too.
Okay. So how did you become a liquor industry entrepreneur? Kind of explain that journey.
Because I'm not good at anything else, Neil. Next question, please. It's funny. I started my career on the executive side, on the distribution in my early 20s, which I guess just came from my love of hospitality. I was a bar back in high school, and then a server, and then a bartender in college. And then I moved to New York City and continued to bartend while working like on the full traditional 9-to-5 job. And just, you know, certain people in my life, just one thing led to another. And I went for the whole sales and marketing piece on the distribution level, which now in retrospect, I kind of owe everything to. I was there for 15 years and, you know, launching companies like Casamigos, launching companies like Patron, launching companies like Don Julio and stuff. It really kind of taught me a ton of what to do and maybe what not to do.
You get to do it on someone else's dime. That's a good deal, right?
Bingo.
Compared to other people that don't get that opportunity. And then they figure it out themselves and learn all these mistakes over and over again. But when it becomes your money, it's a little different story, isn't it, than someone else's money?
It's a completely different story. Those companies have a lot of dimes. So, I was able to learn kind of the good, the bad, the ugly, and then maybe what I would do differently, what I wouldn't, what works, what doesn't, and kind of put my own spin on it.
Putting that spin on things. So kind of defining that as you own companies then, right? Involved in the liquor industry, right?
Real
quick, and then we'll go into the topic. I'm more intrigued as you as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure you're fine with talking about your brand and stuff. So tell me how
that's perfect. I'm more interested in your wrestling background because I'm the biggest fan on earth.
Okay, you'll help fund my documentary. You never know. I got to talk about that. We'll talk about that during this interview. I guess
your brother listens to
different things, and it's going to go on Indiegogo. But let's go first about your background, then we can kind of BS back and forth in this interview. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, just people go pick up with your stuff. So what businesses do you have in the liquor industry?
Yeah. So I have two companies right now, actually three, but one is Sip Margs. It's a canned margarita. It's sipmargs.com. Basically like a High Noon, but tequila, comes in multiple different flavors, really clean packaging, it's doing super well. And a company I just launched in May is Su Costa Mezcal. And I've always been a longtime Mezcal lover. And I launched that in May, and the brand's it's been exploding. I'm very fortunate.
And that's where the topic goes. And I will go into that. That's where the topic goes, that it's becoming a better selling liquor than what was it? I think tequila, right? Is that what you, or vodka?
It's catching up to tequila. So it's the tequila. It's the fastest growing spirit. Vodka and tequila still kind of reign supreme, but mezcal is the fastest growing spirit. And that's a major reason why I jumped in, Neil, because, you know, if you think about this, like if you ask anyone off the street to name their favorite vodka, they're going to give you 12 and chew your ear off. Now you got mezcal, fastest growing spirit, double digit growth, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Ask anybody off the street to name one, they can't do it. So no loyalty and no brand recognition. And that was those are two major factors why I jumped in addition, you know, for my love, my personal love for mezcal. You know, why is that? So I kind of came up with my own why, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
My why is, I think a lot of these names are just really difficult for the average American consumer to pronounce. No different than when you go to a fancy French restaurant and you're trying to order a white Burgundy and you're choking on your words, right?
Yeah.
It can be pretty embarrassing. And I see it firsthand. You know, you see people go to the bartender and they just point because they can't say it. Hence, Su Casa was born, right? So I trademarked that name, not really sure how. but I did, thankfully. So also the packaging, we have really bright blue, like eye peeling custom packaging, where most, not all, but most kind of use a stock bottle, very similar labels, and a lot of that Day of the Dead skeleton kind of death and scary kind of vibes, where ours are more appealing, you know, they're definitely more interesting, and it's custom. Also, the smoke level. I worked very hard with my partners in Oaxaca to bring the smoke down a touch, because people, for the most part, don't love that cigar in a glass, where it's just, it's too much. So you want to be true to Mezcal, but we want to bring it down a little bit. More agave on the back end, so people are familiar with tequila, so it has all those attributes, and then just less smoke. And then lastly, price point. I think a lot of companies get lost in the price point, and we want to be very accessible. Most of our business is done on within cocktail programs. So that being said, you really need to be wholesale, like below 30, in order for that to make sense for the restaurateur.
So how do you get distribution if you're in, I wouldn't call you an independent, but you're starting up in this phase to get the most distribution possible.
I am an independent. You nailed it. You're absolutely right. And that's, you know, it's a David versus Goliath kind of thing. I mean, you know, every day you fight Casamigos, you're fighting, you know, these monsters. Thankfully, my background is distributions, and like everything else in life, relationships. So that part we don't struggle with at all. I have really solid relationships. So gaining distributions in multiple markets, even globally, hasn't been an issue for us.
How do you track? I'm interested in this in the sales marketing end of things. How do you track where your sales are coming from and different things like that to make sure?
Oh man, that's a whole nother story. We're going to have some cocktails and talk about that. So my partner and I worked for the past like year to really kind of automate everything. And we use all these different SOPs that we build in our own custom CRM. So we have sales and marketing trackers for everything. And then every morning I get different pings from all different, whether it's different markets or from the marketing or the social, basically to kind of reminders for me to do X, Y, Z, but everything is tracked and it's all done through automation and CRM.
And then the challenges of like where it is going, you are able to track it pretty much. But again, when you're talking about distribution in places and seeing sales, it's always still an animal, a CRM and all that, especially with what you're talking about is. International. Yeah.
It is. And what that does is basically streamline. I'll give you an example. So fortunate, again, you know, almost 20 years in the business, I have amazing relationships that I garnered through the years, and I'm very thankful. And obviously you got to use that, right? And then, but that gets you to second base, right? And then eventually relationships kind of wear off and all that type of stuff. So then what do you do? How do you not stay on second base forever? And that's really where I think the discipline and the sales strategy kind of comes in, where, you know, by the time it filters through our organization and it gets to me, it's been vetted, re-vetted, and then vetted again. So right now I'm spending the week in Tampa and Orlando, and we have tons of meetings set up, but they're almost like just go in and close them, you know, handshake, high five. They know all about the product. They've been pitched on it. They want it. So it's really a matter of me closing it. So we don't waste any single time. We don't cold call. We don't go in, you know, with the customer, the client not knowing, or everything's been warmed up, ready to go. So we just kind of go in for the kill.
That's great. And then that's where you're at. You're constantly traveling, constantly events and liquor. One of the things about liquor is it's about going to events. That's where the liquor is sold, right? By presenting it at specific bars, presenting it at specific events, so that you as an independent can be seen more, so people can finally build that brand name more.
Bingo. Exactly. And, you know, especially with the bars, the restaurants and the hotels, because we focus solely on the cocktail programs. And that, you know, that gives us the biggest return possible. Because you think about it, you know, especially the more popular venues of the world, you know, the Ketches and the Taos and the Madison Square Gardens of the world, you get on that menu, think about how many tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people go through those venues, and then they kind of see your name up in light. So in my opinion, and it's not always the most popular opinion, but I think that's the biggest return and the best marketing you could ever do in any kind of brand.
All right. Why are you a professional wrestling fan? What kind of wrestling are you a big fan of? Tell me. Is it a long history of pro wrestling as a fan?
since I could walk. Probably a lot because of my older brother. You know, when you get thrown through a wall a few times, he's got 6 years on me, so you learn really quick. But I was an amateur wrestler, like as a kid. I wasn't very good, but I'd always just we'd always love professional wrestling. My brother and I would watch every single show. We'd beg my father to bring us to any kind of local shows when they were around. And he hated my dad. He's a retired professor. He'd go there reading Money Magazine, like not even facing the crowd, and like just hated every bit of it. Me and my brother finally got our way, and he would bring us to everything. But yeah, still to this day, we just absolutely love it.
So do you have any celebrity endorsers of your products yet?
For the can margarita, we're talking to a few folks. Some big ones. I can't mention names. You certainly know them. For Tsukasa, it's a different of a product. So one is like, you know, think of like a High Noon kind of for the masses, and, you know, 7-Elevens and Wawa's and stacked to the ceiling, where the 750 glass model of being at the right restaurants and the right hotels, a little bit different. We were talking to a couple big celebrities. That's a whole, you know, a whole nother business. And I'm certainly open to it, but we got some things in the pipeline.
See, that's the process. What is it going to be? Influencer marketing? So many things are so challenging. And when you go and put that stuff out there, you just don't know for sure. Well, just to update you, because you wanted to know what's happening to me in pro wrestling, making my professional wrestling comeback after being full-time and when I was 29 and now I'm 51. Now I, for a reason, for a documentary. So basically I'm going to tell my story of like almost like a way back machine of the same story again. Do it the same way again, create the story and put all the people that were part of it that are still alive part of that story. That's kind of just giving it, it's going to be going out in Indiegogo. I think in a couple of days, my filmmaker is going to get it out there to start raising funds. But my goal is to make these shows some big super indies in those areas, bring in a lot of the indies I've worked with, and then have comeback story matches with my biggest rivals when I was wrestling in the 90s. Rhino, I wrestled this guy T. Ranchel in the Pittsburgh area, a guy named Derek Stone, but I wrestled a lot of the guys who are dead. But we want to also bring in through this documentary a lot of family members of the deceased, so we really bring back pro wrestling. I think that that's the thing that OVW was able to do, that now I think everyone's got to say, well, you know, it's great, the WWE's product, AEW's great product, but they're entertainment. We want to really bring back professional wrestling and to tell the stories of down south and how it was and how the fans really didn't think thought it was real. That's what's got to come back, because that's entertainment. When I go to these indie shows now where there might be 60 or 70 people, as I've been observing, they're so into it compared to a crowd of 10,000 that are sitting on their hands. Where pro wrestling, and they're really not cheering. They're really not into it. And I don't know, it's going to be an interesting thing, and not where, you know, just the story in general and me as an entrepreneur and saying, hey, I want to be the next Gary V, Grant Cardone, or Alex Hormozi. What am I going to do? I'm going to come back into pro wrestling in my marketing agency. So there you go. So if you're interested in that story, we definitely have to talk again, Joey, and talk about how we're looking at it. Look at what Iron Claw was able to do in the theaters, right? Look at certain other stories. I'm also working on a Road Warriors movie with Chris Mulkey. Big stuff in the works. Definitely need to check me out, but where can we check you out? Just giving you my update.
That's very cool. And I've had a couple nights out with Rhino. So, and that's for a different story.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Very, very into it. Those guys are wild, but, you could check us out. So, I'll give you both handles. Tsukasa Mezcal is at Tsukasa Mezcal. Super easy. The website is tsukasamezcal.com. You can certainly order online. The canned margarita are sipmargs.com and at sipmargs on Instagram and social. So you can kind of see what we're all about.
I'm going to be checking you out. I appreciate it. Thanks again, Joey.
All right, man. Thank you.
You're listening, watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back.